Our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord. What wrong did your ancestors find in me, that they went far from me, and they went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? They did not say, Where is the Lord, who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us out of the wilderness, in a land of desert and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives. I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, Where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that did not profit. Our second reading is from Romans 1, 18 to 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his internal power and divine nature, invisible through they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made. So they are without excuse, for though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their senseless. Minds were darkened, claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal human being or birds or four-footed animals or reptiles. This is the word from our holy scriptures.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Ryan. So I received some slides in my email box this week. Whoops, we're going a little faster. Ten only. Can we go back to the sermon slide, Keith? I think it was. So I received these emails in my email box under the title, We're Doomed. Now, perhaps improper spelling or grammar won't doom us, but it is becoming more apparent that there are things that are threatening life on this planet that we need to really pay attention to. So as we tackle this subject over these weeks of caring for creation, we're going to take a look at what it means to actually care for creation and pay attention to what's going on in around us. 2 weeks ago, I talked about being witnesses to what is happening in the world. And last week at the Blessing of the Animals, we offered in the litany an apology for what we have done that affects so many creatures on this earth. And we know now that we are experiencing difficult challenges on Earth that are going to require some creative, innovative, and immediate solutions if we are going to make the world livable for future generations. Writer M. Wright, who has a website called A Constellation of Possibilities, I love that website, A Constellation of Possibilities, writes that climate repair understands climate change as a systemic stress response from trauma. I'll say that again. Climate repair, to repair the climate, it understands climate change as a systemic stress response from trauma. That, in other words, The earth is stressed because of trauma that has been imposed on the earth. And then she says, climate repair needs space, lots of space, for naming harm, apologizing, witnessing, grieving, rebuilding trust, and healing. The earth these days is under attack, and it is being traumatized. There's no longer any mystery to why we are having these severe weather events in the world, or experiencing rising ocean levels and slowing ocean currents, or why the temperatures are rising, polar ice is melting, and species on our earth is threatened. Nobody really is quarreling about that happening anymore. This week will be really the most difficult message as we embrace this naming harm that M. Wright speaks of. And first, I want to be really clear about what we're dealing with. There has, as people say to me all the time, there has always been climate change. And of course, there's always been climate change. And there have always been extreme weather events. Nobody questions that. In fact, at one point in Earth's history, Alberta was either a tropical forest, or under a sheet of ice, or under a large lake. Earth has gone through major climate epochs that have rendered it at times uninhabitable for many plants or animals. That's a reality. Climate change and weather events are normal in the 4.5 billion years that the Earth has been in existence. And there have also been both minor and major extinction events throughout history. Scientists these days have outlined 5 major mass extinction events on Earth within the last 450 million years. 5 major extinction events. And the description of a major extinction event is that they destroy 70 to 95% of the species of plants, animals, and microorganisms that existed on that earth at that time of that event. They all take place over a fairly short geological period of time, which is defined as 2.8 million years. Most notable for us in this area, what is no longer living in this area? Bison, dinosaurs. Yeah, dinosaurs. There are no dinosaurs. It's because of a mass extinction event. And all of these mass extinction events were as the result of some natural phenomena. Some call them acts of God that wiped out a significant portion of life on Earth. So the causes of mass extinctions can vary, as do the resulting consequences of those mass extinctions. For example, the dinosaurs going extinct. In the past, mass extinctions have been caused by maybe massive volcanic eruptions, depletion of ocean oxygen, or a collision with an asteroid, some of these things. And the result was that it took millions of years to recover the numbers of species comparable to those that existed before that extinction event. So there has always been natural events causing a dramatic change in the constitution of life on Earth. That is a reality. Extinction is nothing new and is, in fact, normal to Earth. So it should come as no surprise that scientists have said we are in a 6th mass extinction event. We are currently in the throes of that. There is one difference, though. It's the cause of this mass extinction event, which is humans. We're the natural cause this time of this mass event. We're the cause of this increasingly inhospitable planet that we are living on. Multiple species of plants and animals, including mammals, birds, reptiles, amphibians, fish, and invertebrates, have either gone extinct or are seriously endangered, along with large sectors of marine life. With the widespread degradation of biodiversity hotspots, such as coral reefs and rainforests, agricultural lands, and oceans, humans have seriously eroded the conditions that are necessary for life on this earth. The current rate of extinction of species is estimated at 100 to 1,000 times higher than natural extinction rates, and it is increasing. During the past 100 to 200 years, biodiversity loss and species extinction have accelerated at quite an alarming rate. We have actually done this through the unsustainable destruction of biomass, such as forests and rivers, the extraction and burning of fossil fuels, the polluting and poisoning of land and water, and the excessive consumption of resources, such as precious minerals and metals. And although many of us are starting to recognize what we are doing, the rate of destruction is increasing, and there seems to be little or no will to alter the trajectory that we're on right now. So this means that the degradation of the earth will continue, and there will be ever-increasing competition for declining resources. There will be more anxiety in the systems on earth that are trying to adjust to an unpredictable and quickly changing world. And life will become more complicated the further down the road we go. Countries will go to war over resources as the amounts of non-renewable resources decline. The poorest in the world will suffer more than the rich, although they are the least responsible for this situation. Climate migration has already started in our world, and so-called natural disasters are going to increase. It's really hard to turn away from this reality these days, as it's in the news almost every day. Writer Brian McLaren, who writes in his book Life After Doom, which some of us have been studying, writes that civilizations collapse when the systems they create to solve their problems are no longer able to do so. Civilizations collapse when the systems they create to solve their problems are no longer able to solve their problems. Many great civilizations have collapsed for this very reason. Roman, Incan, Aztecs, very progressive civilizations, all gone now because they were not able to solve their problems. However, here's the difference. We no longer have civilizations. We have one civilization. We are now a global civilization. Our economies, governments, and militaries are all dependent on each other. And our civilization is failing. Our institutions, governments, economies, militaries, education, health, social institutions, you name them. They are struggling to find ways to meet the needs of people while at the same time costing more and more to maintain. They're failing. Things are not looking particularly good at the moment, and the solutions being provided are not slowing the rate of decline in our society. Here's the good news, though. After every mass extinction on Earth, life has found a way to go on and for possibilities of new life to emerge. This is the way life plays out on Earth. New life comes along after every mass extinction. In the passage that Ryan just read a few minutes ago, Jeremiah warned the people on God's behalf that when the people pursued worthless things that didn't have any meaning, their lives then became worthless themselves. And when God had placed them in this land of plenty, they just came along and defiled the land, took advantage of God's generosity, and made God's heritage, it says, an abomination, a disgrace to God. You know, when Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun, there really is nothing new under the sun. We've done this before. Sound familiar? We're not taking good care of what we have, and the cost of it is steep, life itself. Then in Romans, as Ryan read, Paul declares that people have always been able to see God and the works of God in creation if they're willing to see it, but the people refused to see the goodness of God and squandered what God had given them in futility and obtuseness. They became the passage said, ungrateful, and their hearts and minds were darkened. Gosh, we are a stubborn, foolish lot, we humans. Yet this has always been true. God has not abandoned life. Never. God has never abandoned creation. Always, even when people were selfish, short-sighted, greedy, and destructive, and they abandoned God over and over again, God cares for creation and ensured that life goes on in some way. A remnant always remains to start over again. It does appear that we are in a period of decline that accelerates no longer by the decade, but by the year. And there are rocky times ahead. Yet, we are to remain steadfast and strong, grounded in God, and unwavering, and I believe that God will not only journey with us through it, but will ensure that life continues. And we are to be a steady presence for those around us, assuring them that though the world has gone through this before, life continues. God remains to see clearly and name the harm that we are doing for sure. Doing our best to mitigate the challenges before us and to prepare ourselves and others for the increasing uncertainty and anxiety we are facing and will face in the future. We can deny what's going on, or we can even ignore it, but it will not change the reality. What we need is people who face up to what is happening and do their best to mitigate against it and prepare for it. What is really important these days is community. And communities who will support each other and help us to get through the anxiety and fear that people are experiencing. That's what we are. We have to build stronger community, and we need to care for creation as it needs to be cared for. And we will continue to thank God for all the beauty and goodness, trusting that life is good and is a gift. We're here. We are here today. So let us never squander the gifts that have been given to us, because life is too precious. Let's just take a moment to reflect.